in the front line. So for us, we know ourselves and why we have to be enlisted, or we're chosen to fight a good battle for our Lord Jesus Christ. We also have to realize that our enemy is really fierce. In other words, that if we do not know who our enemy is, and then there's no way we can fight against him. And we know there's only one enemy, and always remember this. Because quite often when we, you know, doing holy work and doing church work, and quite often we end up arguing with one another. When we argue with one another, this means that we do not know who our enemy is. Why? Because quite often we are not spiritually filled. All we can see is the earthly things, the worldly things, and we cannot see the thing that is spiritual, that is Satan himself. So that's why many of you right now, right? This is the first week at NYCS, so I'm sure that many of you make a determination. I want to serve God. Right? I want to go home and pray for an hour a day, right? And be able to do something for the church. The minute that came to your mind, Satan wanted to disqualify that right away. In other words, Satan said, yeah, that's what you want to do. I'll show what you're going to do. When you get home, I'll show what you're going to do. You're going to sleep late, right? Don't want to do anything. You get lazy. Then do things that you're not supposed to do. This is the way Satan works. This is how he works. So that's quite often. If you have an agenda to pray, right? For example, you want to pray at 7 a.m., for example. And for some reason, there's always something going to come up, right? Maybe someone call you, let's go here, let's go there, and do this, do that, right? So of course, it's good to have a set time to pray. But at the same time, any time you want to pray, just kneel down and pray. It's very important. Right? So in other words, don't wait until you have time to pray. But when you have that time that you feel you want to pray, that's the time you should pray. So in that way, Satan will not send so many obstacles, right, in our way, try to stop us doing the things that we want to do. So we know that Satan's greatest weapon is his deception. On the end days, right, our minds will be so deceived in the sense that we have no idea what's right and what's wrong anymore, right? Many of you think homosexual is okay, right? For me, I'm completely surprised. Why? Because we use the same concept and logic just like the outsiders, right? You would say that if they are homosexual, it's nothing to do with me, right? They're not hurting me, right? They just mind their own business, right? But that concept is not right. Of course, we don't hate the person that has that kind of tendency, right? But we have to condemn the sin. So in other words, we're always going to love people, no matter who they are. They can kill a person, they can do whatever they do, we're always going to love that person. But the sin, we're never going to love. So in other words, if people outside ask us, is it okay for a person to practice homosexuality? What are you going to say? It's up to them. No, of course not. When they ask us this kind of question, this is the time for us to step forward to be in the front line and to say, no, it's not right. What about somebody said, well, if some people out there, they, you know, practice homosexuality, it has nothing to do with us. Why do we have to condemn them? Why do we have to say this and say that? Where's the verse, right, that say that those who practice such things, the danger of judgment. But not only those who are practiced, but also those who approve such evil things also will be condemned. Where can you find that? Where can you find that? I'm sorry? Yes, the book of Romans, right? Romans 1:32. This is very clear, brothers and sisters, right? So for us, talk about stepping in the front line, being in the front line. We must do it. In the sense that when people ask us difficult questions, even though, yes, with the way we answer it might hurt their feelings. But hey, look at our Lord Jesus Christ, right? how many times he heard the Pharisees and the scribes their feelings. It's not about feelings, it's about salvation. When someone asks us this kind of question, it's the opportunity for us to confess our Lord Jesus Christ, to confess His teaching, and step forward to the front line, hoping by sharing with them, they return and repent and be able to be saved. This is our goal, right? So that's why in Romans chapter 1 verse 32, who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. There's no doubt. Why? Because here in chapter 1, they're talking about men lusting against with men, right? And women lusting against other women. But it says those people practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, right, but also approve of those who practice them. So in other words, in our minds, the minute we approve such practice, we also be in danger of death. So that's why, right, there's two different things. Sin and love, right, and sin and a person itself. So when we talk about people always say, oh, God is love, right? And if God is so love, so much love, God is love, so everyone will be saved. Is this right? No. The first part is right. God is love. That is true. That's why He sent His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross. But not everybody can be saved. Because even though God is almighty, all-powerful, but God will never ever force us to do things we don't want. So in our way we can say, yes, even though God is so mighty, right? But He gives us His great free will. And this free will is stronger than God's power. Why? Because God's love is that deep and that high, is that wide. Right? So that's why quite often we always feel like, you know, God predestined everything. So everything that happened to us already happened. But it's Satan deception. It's not like this. For example, I'm talking to you right now, right? And every one of you is saying that, yes, Voodoo is safe. I'm safe, right? And now I'm thinking stupid things. I'm going outside. I'm going to cross the street because I have so much faith, right? I'm going to cross the street with my eyes closed. Then what, God going to send His angel and come grab me? No, I'm going to walk across the street. I'm going to die, right? Can God pull me out of there? Of course He can. But my free will overpower, right? In that sense, His power. I'm not saying we are stronger than God in that sense. But free will, this is what God gave us. So that's why if you look at this way, and everything happened in the Bible, then we can see it much more clear. Quite often, actually, the Bible is very simple in the sense that if you know God's nature and God's love. But we as people, we always want to bring God from heaven, put Him in a box and dissect Him, right? Try to understand who He is. And then we don't understand who He is, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, I don't believe in God anymore. If God is like that, no way I'm going to worship Him. For what? If I can't understand everything about God, and why is He my God anyway? Right? So that's why don't let Satan deceive us. There's many things we want to ask, and many things maybe we do not know, right? If you do not know the question, and then there's a verse in the Bible, right? It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But everything that is revealed belongs to us and to our children, that we may do His commandment. Where does it say this? Yeah, someone say it? Deuteronomy 29:29. Always remember that, right? Let's turn to that. Let's turn to that. Deuteronomy 29:29. Should be very easy, right? Deuteronomy 29:29. Because I know so many of you, right? After yesterday's discussion, you come up to ask me so many questions, right? It's good that you have these kind of questions. But sometimes there's no answer. The reason there's no answer is because we are not mighty. We are human beings. Our minds are very limited, right? For example, when God say, you know, when say, oh, God's eyes are upon us, right? What do God's eyes look like? Brother, what God's eyes look like? Right? And we think of God's eyes look like Asian eyes, slanted and stuff, right? Of course not. But the reason God said God's eyes is because He wants us to understand, right, what He is like. But of course, God, we talk about God's feelings too. Don't think God's feeling is like us, the way we are. Because any time God feels, it's perfect. When He loves, it's perfect. When He makes decisions, it's perfect. For us, can it be like that? No. So that's why don't bring God down from heaven, put Him in a box, and try to understand who He is. And that's what Satan wants us to do. And that is trick. And that's why he wants to deceive us. Right? So there's so many questions that we have. So we go to Deuteronomy 29:29, right? Deuteronomy 29:29. Always remember this verse, right? 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So what is the purpose here that God revealed things to us? What is the purpose? Brother, what is the purpose that God revealed this to us? What's the purpose? I'm sorry? Okay. Is it only obey or what? Do. It's different, right? Yes, you can obey God's commandment. That doesn't mean you can do it, right? In a sense that, yes, we right now, maybe you're not sinning against God. It means we obey His commandment. But we do. We go out to do and practice it. That's another story. So in other words, you don't need to know too much about the Bible. Really, you don't. But just know salvation. Right? Have the simple faith in the sense that when you are baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit, you are saved. And that's all you need to know. If you don't know anything else, you are fine. But because our minds, right, we get this, you know, at this generation, we think, we analyze, right? So it's good to be like that. But don't be, you know, don't fall into Satan's deception. Here, the main reason why we ask questions, so we can do the word of the law. So in other words, there's so many questions that transcend beyond time and space. Right? If it transcends beyond time and space, we don't really need to know, really. Our early members in Taiwan, right, when they pray, they can't even read the Bible, right? They fly from one mountain to the other. Right? Our African brother and sister in Africa, they can't even read the Bible. But when they pray for a person, they resurrected. So what I'm saying to you is that don't think too much. But the reason we do this, because one day you'll be in the front line talking to other denominations. And you must know what you're talking about, right? Peter can never preach during the time of Paul, right, on the end. Can never. Why? Why, brother? Why Peter cannot preach during the time of Paul?
He's not as knowledgeable as Paul.
Yes, he's not knowledgeable. He cannot reach the audience that Paul can reach. So there's a purpose. But is Peter less than Paul? Of course not. Is God loved him more than Paul? I mean, less than Paul? No. Of course not, right? So in other words, even every single one of you, you just know and have faith what you believe. When you are baptized, you are saved. That's it. You can stop right there, right? I remember when I first came to know Jesus Christ, right? And during that time, I was so zealous to preach the gospel. And at work, every time during lunch, I used to preach the gospel to my workers. And you know what? How much I know about the Bible? Very, very, very little. I just know about baptism and the Holy Spirit. And during the lunch time, I'm telling you, they used to eat on the table. I used to stand up. I used to preach to them, right? But during that time, my preaching was the most powerful. I feel I was going to float in the air. When I speak my tongue, right? And even though English coming out, right? But my tongue started, you know, I speaking in tongue when I was preaching. I'm like, wow. Why? Because during the time I preach with such faith, because I don't know anything else, right? Because all the brothers and sisters have told me is about baptism, Holy Spirit, and that's all I preach to them. So that's why sometimes when we don't have this kind of simple faith when we preach, it's not as powerful. Really, sometimes you have an opportunity, go to Africa, right, to see how our brothers and sisters preach. I'm telling you, don't tell, you know, when we go to Africa and preach, it's my favorite time to preach. Why? Because preach is very simple, right? And usually, what do we use to preach in Africa? Yes, the doctrine. That's it. Nothing fancy, right? Don't analyze any scriptures, don't any of those things, right? Simple stuff. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there was Holy Spirit that gave death to the Word of God. Right? Not us. Right? Sometimes we come up to speak, we speak so eloquent, we try to use big words, but if you use such big words and no one else understands you, what's the point? What's the point? Of course, everybody has different gifts, right? To speak. But nevertheless, be yourself when you go on the front line. You must know who you are and know what the capability that you have, right? For example, you play sports, right? How many of you play sports here? What kind of sports you play, bro? Basketball, right? So what is your best shot? What is it? Drop step. So you drop, what do you mean? You go?
Turn around
and lay, or lay up. Okay. Oh, spin move. Okay, spin move, right? Andrew, what are your favorite, are your best, no? Right? Or drive to the rim. Why, you're a small guy, drive to the rim, huh? See? Right? See, for me, even though I'm 6 feet tall, right, and I play basketball, this is my, you think, what is my best shot? Driving to the rim, like you? No, see? Like, for me, it seems like I'm tall, I'd be post up. No, my best shot is three-pointers, right, from outside. Right? It's weird, right? But you must know who you are. It doesn't matter, right? So that's why my wife, she also played basketball, right? And she usually played, what, 2-3 nights at home on street ball, right? Even now, she's playing, right? I mean, not now, but... even now. So the most I tell her, right, when she go and play, of course there's always guys, right, covering her, right, and I say the first three shots you must go to the rim, right? Why? Because they all think she doesn't know how to play, you understand, because she's a girl, right? So often she burned them a couple of times, like, oh man, she knows how to play, and then they don't let her go in anymore, then she has to shoot from outside, right? So know your game. This is how Satan works, I'm telling you, right? Everything about you, because no one knows you more than yourself, of course, except for God, right? You know who you are like that, right? So in other words, when we're talking about Satan, all of us, we have different weapons, right? We all do different things. But the most amazing thing is that when we come together, we complete, right? You know, United States Armed Forces, right? Why do you think in almost every battle they always have victory? Why is this? Really? Beside the weapons, right? Beside the weapons. Why? What's that? What's that? Yeah. They work together and execute. It's really true, right? For example, World War II, right? They're fighting with the Japanese, right? The Japanese, the leader of the group, right? If they die, the rest have no idea what to do. You understand? But American soldier, the leader died, the one step up right away, just like that. And that's what they're known for, right? They execute their goal and their focus very clearly. But most other armies, they're not like that. You have one leader and then everybody else. You have one chief and everybody else just like what? Indian, right? In that sense, right? But the United States is not like that. They train everyone. If you can be that leader, you will be that leader, right? So the same thing for us when you talk about executing. The goal we want to have, why we are fighting in the front line. This is very important. So Satan, he is nothing compared to our God. Right? But meanwhile, we must have the faith to realize that. Right? To realize that our God is so awesome. And Satan has so much doubt. When we have doubt, there's no way you can kill Satan or destroy Satan or repress Satan. There's no way. You know, quite often when Satan comes to bother me, if I have doubt, saying hallelujah, no way I can cast him out. And when do I have doubt? When my faith is low. When I don't read enough Bible, and I don't pray enough. Automatically, by default, my faith is low. And because of this, I have no strength and no power. When I say hallelujah, it's not the same. It's not the same. So that's why for us, let's think about this and put more effort, right? To know the God that you worship, right? Let's say Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 6 verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that the King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Right? How many kings do we see here? How many kings do we see here, sister? You're not there yet? How many kings? Okay, you guys, how many kings? How many kings? How many kings? Are you there?
Two.
Yes, there.
Two.
How many kings do you see here?
There's two.
There's two kings, right? What is the first king that you see? Huh? Uzziah. And what kind of king is he? What kind of king is he? Earthly king. Actually, he's a dead king. That's what he is. Right? Because here, in the year that King Uzziah died. So he's the earthly king. He's a dead king. So in other words, you must know the God that you worship. Anything that we serve now, in this world, in this life, they're always going to die. Obama will die, right? President Bush will die, whatever, ex-President Bush will die, right? Everybody will die, except for one king. And this king is the Almighty God, right? Sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. This is the king we worship. This is the king that we are serving right now. How wonderful this is, right? And I'm sure, really, many of you, if Obama, first of all, Obama was never going to call you, right? But if his secretary called you, one of you guys, right? Especially one of you guys know how to play the piano, right? Say, please come to play the banquet that Obama is having, right? I'm sure many of you say, oh, no way, I'm not going to go. No, many of you will go, right? Why? Because why? Because he's the president of the United States. If you go there to play, even to play the banquet, you can come out and you can brag about it, right? Yeah, I went to the White House, right? How many of you have been to the White House before? Raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4.
What did you do at the White House?
Visit.
Did you see the toilet the president used? No, right? They don't show you that, right? Did you see? Sister Mijoy, did you see? What do you do over there in the White House? Tour around, right? That's pretty much it. Almost every single one of us who go to the White House, we just tour around, right? There's a tourist area you can go around here and there. I have been there myself, right? But the person who serve, who work in the White House, even they clean the toilet, I'm telling you, they will be proud, you understand? Why? Because, Polina, you didn't see the president's toilet, right? But I'm sure those who serve him see his toilet, right? What kind of paper, toilet paper he like to use, right? Things like that, right? That is information no one else know, right? Most likely, no one will know exactly where the president used his toilet, right? Why? Because they don't want anybody to set up to kill him, right, while he's on his toilet, right? So things like that is only privileges for those who work for him. Who is President Obama? Right? Actually, he's from Hawaii. He's Mijoy's friend. Right? Who is he's no he's a nobody in the sense that compared to our God, right? He's a nobody. But the God we worship just like here. His throne is lifted up. And his robe filled the temple. Remember this time. How many kings did I die already killed at this time? How many kings? When I died for this glorious throne, right? How many kings did I die killed at this time? Is this the beginning of the church to put up? Is this the beginning? Is this the beginning? During this time, he already served at least three kings already. But during this particular time, why? Did God looking for a person.
Where is Isaiah during that time? He's been serving God all this time already. Why? And then God said,
right,
whom shall I send and who will go for us? Why did God say that? Isaiah's been serving God all these years already. Why did God say this?
Because during that time, even though he was serving God, he was not the soldier that God wanted him to be until here in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. So in other words, yes, we are enlisted, but God cannot bring us to the front line yet. Because if he brings us to the front line, we'll surely die. This is very important.
So in other words, if we want God to use us in the front line, we must equip ourselves. We must come to training, right, to equip ourselves. If not, then it's useless. We just go and just die in the front line. Even though we equip ourselves, we go in the front line, we still can die.
So that's why here, when God says, right, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah responds, he am I, sent me.
Are we ready? If God tomorrow come and said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Are we ready to say, here am I, sent me?
If we're not ready, this means we need to be trained even more. Because on the end days, God already tells us, you belong to the armies in heaven.
If you're going to fight, or you can just sit around and do nothing. If you sit around and do nothing, you're still going to die. So why not fight and live? So now we're going to come to faith, right? Faith is no such thing as being lukewarm or sitting still. Because the minute you sit still and being lukewarm, you will slide backward. That's the way it is, right? But if you continue to move forward, the chance for us to stay alive is much higher. It's much higher. So why not move forward? Why not train ourselves to fight against Satan? And why was Isaiah ready this time? Guys, I know you're tired. Why is Isaiah ready this time?
Tofu brother.
Hey, yeah, Alicia, it's not the stinky tofu, right? Chill tofu, right?
Sure.
No, you feel comfortable with shoes off, right? So why is Isaiah ready this time, brother?
I don't know.
Did you read chapter 6?
Yeah.
What do you think it is? When you say you don't know, you're being too humble. That's good. What is it? What do you think?
He saw the glory of God.
He saw the glory of God. Okay, okay. Sister? Why Isaiah say, here am I, sent me? Okay, you can help her out. Why? Brother say he saw the glory of God, right? Then what do you say? Can you amen to that? What else? See, the reason, right? Isaiah saying, here am I, sent me. Because he saw how the seraphim was serving God. That's why. Because when he saw the seraphim, how they served God, and then he was burned with fire. And this is the first way for us to go out on the front line. If you have no motivation to serve God at all, then there's no point to come out. Because only with the motivation, compelled by the love of God, we can go on the front line and be able to live. Why? Because the love of God gave us strength to overcome everything. Just like Isaiah here, right? Look at in chapter 6, verse 2. Actually, before we go to that. So what kind of God we worship anyway, right? What kind of God we worship anyway? Yes, God we see here, he's full of glory because his glory filled the whole temple. But so many other denominations, right?
They always say that God is love, God is love. And what are they missing? If they say God is love all the time, what are they missing?
Just.
Right. God is also just. If God was not just, He can never, right? He can just, when Adam and Eve committed sin, He can just tell us, your sins are forgiven, that's it. But that's not a just God. If He wants our sin to be forgiven, He must do something. That is to send His only begotten Son to die for us. So many Christians nowadays, they have this misconcept that God is love, everyone will be saved. But they don't look at the other side, that He is just. God also is just. Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation.
Chapter 5. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4.
So what is the best way to know who God is? What is the best way to know who God is? Okay. Brother, what is the best way to know who God is?
Read Bible.
Read the Bible. What else?
Pray.
Yes. Two answers, right? If you want to know about God, you must read the Word of God. Because the Bible is a story about God. So, for example, if you guys want to know me more, you can Google my name, right? And you know what I did in the past, this and that, right? Actually, you can know a lot about me if you Google my name, right? Right? But I'm sure, why would you want to know about me? It's nothing, right? But I'm sure you want to know about some sisters and stuff, well, you can Google their name too, right? Right? So here, this whole Bible is all about Jesus Christ. This one word we can use to describe this whole Bible is what? What one word we can use? Love, yes. Love. But here, in Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. So many of us, we also, just like John, behold this door open in heaven, right? Even though the door open in heaven, it doesn't mean we can enter through it. Sometimes we just behold the door is open. But we're always standing, look at the door is open. But how can we enter? How did John enter this door?
In the Spirit?
Yes. He was in the Spirit of the Lord, right? In verse 2. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So in other words, do not continue to be a standby member, right? Always stand by and see the glorious door there. But we ourselves never enter through it. But if we never enter through it, we can never understand exactly who God is. And then when John, in the Spirit of the Lord, right? In the book of Revelation, how many times is in the Spirit of the Lord? How many times? Four times, that's right. Four times, right? And each time he's in the Spirit of the Lord, God reveals to him great things. So here is the second time he was revealed. Immediately he was in the Spirit of the Lord, and behold, what did he see?
The glory of God.
Verse 2.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4, verse 2.
A throne set in heaven.
Yes, a throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. What does throne represent? Throne. Who sit on the throne? A king, right? And when a king sit on his throne, actually this is the throne of what? Of judgment, right? Anyone who see a person sitting on a throne, you must be fearful. So in other words, when we enter this door, we will know we have reverence toward God because God, He is awesome. Right? Who sit on His throne is not me, it's not Pastor Hong, it's not Pastor Yang, you understand?
So the minute you enter this door, you know who is sitting in this door. That is God Himself. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why in church, when you guys get older, when you're on the board, right? When you're serving God, do not put yourself to be on the throne. Quite often, some of us look at other people sitting on the throne because we admire them. But quite often, most of the time, we are the ones sitting on the throne. And this is a big mistake. There's only one, right? There's one sit on the throne, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Not you, not me, not any brothers and sisters. So always remember that. Don't place yourself on this throne. That if you're filled with the Spirit of God, we realize this. And we know the God that we worship. And then, verse 3. And he who sat on there was like a jasper and sardius stones in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Right? So the throne is for judgment. But we know a rainbow is God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. See, the God in worship. The God of love and the God of mercy and the God that is just. Always remember this. So don't think now, right, if you commit sin against God. And yes, God can forgive us for our sin, but we will take the punishment. It's always like this. If you do something wrong and something bad happened to you, praise and thank God. It means God has forgiven you. If you do something wrong and continue to do it, nothing happened, pity you, right? Because it means maybe God already gave us up already. For us to go after a desire, go after a sinful desire. So that's why we think about this. God is always just. Did God forgive David for his sin? Yes. Right? But what did he have to do? What happened to David? I'm sorry? Yes, first four. What? Four children died during his time. And his kingdom was divided, right? And at old age, he still cannot find any comfort. But even though God forgave him, but he had to go through his punishment. So the same thing for you and I. When we do something wrong, right? And we pray to God, God, please forgive me. And then if God truly forgives us, he will punish us, and then we start over again. So always remember this. God is merciful, but also God is just. This is the God we worship. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6. So the first thing, right, that Isaiah saw is in verse 2. Above it stood seraphim. What does seraphim mean? The word seraphim? Seraphim, what does it mean? Huh? The one that praised God? Okay. But the word seraphim means, Paulina, you're smiling. What is it? Yes, the burning one. Seraphim, the burning one. In other words, don't read it as seraphim. Read it when Isaiah saw it, say, the burning one, right? The burning one. This means consuming fire. So that's why when we worship God, when we praise God, we must have this kind of heart. Remember when the apostle, like 120, received the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then the Bible described the Holy Spirit sat upon them just like fire. This means that their heart becomes so zealous. That's why Peter and the 11 disciples stood up and preached the gospel. Remember during that time, right? They just crucified Lord Jesus Christ. And many people, they want to go and get the disciples too, right? But during that time, he did not care. Why? Because that fire burned in his heart, and that fire burned in their heart, so he stood up. Even they were laughing at them, oh, they must be drunk. And say, no, man, the brethren, right? It's very early in the morning, they're not drunk, but they're filled with God's Spirit, and he preached, and 3,000 people were saved. This is the kind of heart we need to have. So That's why when you come here, right, for these 2 weeks, of course, NYTS is very good for our training. But I always mention you, NYTS is good for training, but when we go home, that is what's more important. The battlefield is not here. This is a training camp. When you're in a training camp, the only way you can die is friendly fire, right? Maybe other brothers and sisters say something to you that that hurt you very much. Maybe you get so hurt, you don't want to come to church anymore. But the chances that to happen is very little, right? By friendly fire, right? But when you go home, that is the battlefield. That is the battlefield. So when you leave from here, make sure you have the armor of God on you, right? From your head all the way down to your feet, right? And then what did they do? Each one had 6 wings. Right. Why 6 wings? Why not just 2 wings? Why 6 wings? Right. Why 6 wings?
Why, brother? Didn't they like cover their face and their feet?
Yeah, so this description of them, right? 2 to cover their face. Right. And 2 to cover their feet. And 2 for them to fly. Right? So that's why there's 6 wings.
Our time is up. And we're going to continue tonight at 7:30. Let's bow our heads and pray in silence.